Okay, so we're learning Sukkah Daf Dalet Amid Aleph, and let's pick up. It's around 9 lines from the top. Zok the Gemara. Oh, actually, so you're probably following along on computer screens rather than with a standard, boring, old-fashioned text the way I have it. But you'll find the place. Haisa Gavar Me Esrim Amma V'chutzin Yardin B'soch Esrim Amma. Right? It says that if the sukkah is over 20 amos, and you have chutzin are literally like branches, and the branches are coming into 20 amos, so im tzilosam merubah mechamosam k'sheira v'imlav psula. So the halacha is that if these chutzin, if these branches provide more shade than sun, so in that situation, these branches themselves take on the halacha of schach, and then you have schach under 20 amos, so then it's going to be a kasher sukkah. However, if the branches do not provide more shade than sun, so in that situation, the branches are not kosher as schach unto themselves. So then, all the schach that I have is the schach over 20 amos, and in that case, it's going to be puzzle. Okay, so basically what the Gemara is saying, and I think it's somewhat understandable, the Gemara is saying that, you know what, when you have branches that protrude down from the schach, if those branches themselves are tzilosam and rubim mechamosam, if there is more shade than sun on those branches, so those branches themselves have the status of schach, and in that case it's going to be kosher, because then they have schach under 20 amos. If not, it's going to be pasul. An extension of that Gemara is going to be our focus now for the first part of the shir, or maybe the whole shir, depending on how quickly we could do this. Haisa gavar asara tfachim, v'hutzin yardim l'toch asara. Right, the minimum size for the height of a sukkah is 10 tfachim. Let's say the sukkah is 10 tfachim tall, but you have branches that protrude into 10 tfachim. So savra Abaye lemeimar im chamosam meruba misilosam ksheira. Abaye thought that if these branches that protrude down are mostly sun, it doesn't provide that much shade, so then it's going to be kosher. Because, and Rashi explains this, Rashi explains that if they are mostly sun, so then what happens is, it's as if they don't exist, halachically. So therefore, it's going to be kosher. If you look at the Rashi, Savra Abaye lemeimar, Dichi heche debegavo ha lo mim'ati lahachshir heche shechamosim ruba mitzilosan, just like when it comes to the height of the sukkah, it doesn't diminish, it doesn't make it kosher, if it is chamasa meruba mitzilasa, if there is more sun than shade, so it is not considered schach and it doesn't diminish it. Benemuchanami lo memati lefsul. Im chamasa meruba mitzilasa is going to be ksheira. In other words, what Rashi is saying is that Abaye's hava amina is just an extension of the previous Gemara. What Abaye is saying is, listen, if there's more sun than shade, so it's not considered schach. If it's not considered schach, then the only schach I have is over 10 tfachim. So it's going to be kosher. Right? All is grand. But comes along Rava, and Rava says, no, we don't do that. Rava says, Amalei Rava, v'ha dira serucha hi. V'ein adam dar b'dira serucha. Right? Rava says, no, it's a dira serucha. Now, l'cha ora, Now, who wants to explain this to me? Right, Abaye seems to be a logical extension of the previous Gemara. Right, Abaye is saying, listen, if there's more sun than shade, so these protrusions don't contribute any shade, halachically, so it's like they don't exist. So it's now a sukkah that is 10 tefachim tall. The fact that there are protrusions doesn't change anything. Abaya seems to be correct. Why on earth is Rava disagreeing with Abaye? Who wants to explain this to me? You could call out, but you have to unmute yourself before you call out. Ya'el? And just unmute yourself. I think you're still muted. Oh. Again, I didn't hear you? Somehow I still don't hear you. It's interesting. Is my thing not working? Yeah, can you say it again? Yeah, my thing was just very low. Yeah, now I hear you, yeah. Yeah, so absolutely, I actually like that very much, and the distinction between Chefza and Gavra, I think, is correct. I just want to use slightly different Hebrew words for that distinction, which is that, you know, we already spoke about psulim in the sukkah. Sometimes the psul can be in the mivneh of the sukkah, that the structure of the sukkah is not kasher, and sometimes the psul can be a psul in the yeshivas ha-sukkah. Right, the psul might be not that the sukkah is structurally not sound, but the sukkah is a perfectly fine sukkah structurally. The only thing is that I cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah in this sukkah. Because it is, right, something that I can't live in it. Now, it's entirely possible that that's exactly what Rava is saying. Rav is saying, no, hadira serucha hi, ve'en adam dar bedira serucha, no? The lashon of Rava is actually different than there's a whole bunch of cases on this amud where the Gemara speaks about the sukkah being kosher, the sukkah being pasul. In this case, the Gemara's expression is not that the sukkah is pasul, right? What Rav is saying is, en adam dar bedira serucha, that Dira Serucha, I would say, is a psul in Yeshivas HaSukkah. It's not a psul in the Cheftza of the Sukkah. Right? I think that's exactly what you meant, Yael, correct? Beautiful. Okay, now. This diuk that we have, that Rava is fundamentally saying that the Sukkah is structurally okay, and it is just a problem of yeshiva sukkah, this diuk is l'cha'ora what motivated the Rambam to change Judaism. Right? We said many times that Judaism is an amazing religion, and then the Rambam was born, and the Rambam over here in Perek Hey of Hilchos Sukkah, right, where is that Rambam? Perek Hey Halacha Yud Beis or so? Is that... No. Which halacha was it? Perkei halacha beis. That sounds right. Okay, perkei halacha beis, yeah. So the Rambam in perkei halacha beis writes as follows. If you have schach with something that doesn't grow from the ground, it's puzzle. But if you have schach with something that, like, will fall off and fall into your soup, or you have schach that is recho ra, it has a bad older, then it's kosher, because this halacha of not making schach with something that smells bad is only said you should not leave the sukkah. And then the Rambam writes, "Sarkli hizahir shlo yehu hutzin ve'olin shlo schach yardin l'toch hasaret fachim, kidei shlo yetzer lo bishivaso." The Rambam writes that you should be careful not to have the schach protrude into 10 tefachim, so it should not pain you when you're sitting in the sukkah. Meaning, the Rambam l'cha'ora is saying that this din is a din l'chatchila. The Rambam is going a step further than the Pashtus in the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is that Rava is saying that the sukkah is invalid for me to use. I'm trying to be careful with my language. Rava is saying I can't be yotze the mitzvah of sukkah with a schach that protrudes into 10 tefachim because it's diras rucha. That's what the Gemara seems to say. And that's what Rabbeinu Chananel writes on the side of the page, no? Rabbeinu Chananel writes that it's going to be puzzle. Dira seruchahi upsula. And the Ritva says that there are some who say that it's kosher, but I disagree with them. And I say that the sukkah is actually puzzle. Right? That's what the Ritva said. Those who the Ritva is disagreeing with is our beloved Maimonides. The Rambam is the one who says that no, the sukkah is going to be kosher, but you shouldn't do it. The Rambam is being medayik, the same thing that we're medayik, right? That the Lashon HaGemara is Ein Adam Dar B'dira Serucha, that you can't live in a Dira Serucha. But the Gemara doesn't really say it's pasul. Abaye thinks it's kosher. Rava disagrees with Abaye, and Rava says, you know what, Abaye, you're saying it's kosher l'chatchila, zok the Rambam, I'm going to say it's not kosher l'chatchila. L'chatchila, you shouldn't sit in it. That's the way the Gemara is understood by the Rambam. Good? Tanya. Right, so if it's on the yeshiva sukkah, it could still be puzzle. I might not be able to use the word puzzle, but I could still say that I'm not yotze the mitzvah at all. Right? The Rambam is saying that you are yotze the mitzvah, push come to shove. Don't do it. Right? L'chatchila, don't do it. But l'maisa, you are yotze the mitzvah if you did it. The Rambam compares Dira Serucha in our Gemara to another case of smelly schach, no? Now, smelly schach for the Rambam is very similar. The Rambam is, again, I don't know if this is correct, but the word masriach literally means stinky. No? That's what Masriach means. It smells bad. Siz shmekt geferlach, right? You have to translate things into Yiddish or else people don't understand. Right? It smells terrible. It's Masriach. Right? Now, it's not Masriach. Right? Our Gemara says Dira Serucha. What does the word Saruach mean? Right? I don't know exactly, but the Rambam is saying that, you know what? Saruach is similar to smelly schach. And therefore, l'chatchila, you shouldn't do it. That's what the Rambam says. I don't know how he learns the word, how he translates the word serucha in our Gemara. I should note that in Biblical Hebrew, I've been thinking about this, who knows where the word saruach appears in Biblical Hebrew? We had it in Parashas Truma, not that long ago. Though it feels like ages ago, because it was before the virus. So you have the curtains, which are the Mishkan, no? And there is something called the Serach HaOdeif. Yiyes Saruach Al Tzidei HaMishkan Mizel Mizel L'Chasoto. Right? Rorachasoso, if you speak Hebrew like the normal way. So the idea is that there is Serach HaOdef, there's something extra. I think in Biblical Hebrew, the word Saruach, or Dira Sarucha, according to Biblical Hebrew, might mean that it is not normal dwelling. It is like, Serach HaOdef means like an extension. It's not the normal part of, it's not the regular cover of the Mishkan, it's an extension. So maybe Dira Sarucha means it's not normal dwelling. Maybe that's the idea in Biblical Hebrew. I don't know how the word Saruach in the context of smelliness makes any sense in our Gemara. But I do think that that word Saruach in the sense of smelliness may be, perhaps, at least in my mind, tipped the Rambam off to compare it to smelly Schach. So far so good? Oh, weiter. Now, the Rambam, as we noted, is not the simple reading of the Gemara. And the question is, where did the Rambam get this idea from? So some of the Achronim, the Aruch Lener, the Aruch Lener comments that the Gemara later on Daf Hey, is going to have an entire sugya about how you know that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall, and the Gemara derives it, again, from the Mishkan, because the Aron is 9 tefachim, the kaparis on top of the Aron is an extra tefach, that right, 9 plus 1 equals 10. The Gemara has all these limudim for 10 tefachim. So the Pnei Yehoshua, the Aruch Lener, everyone asks the question, one second, why does the Gemara need to derive from Pesukim that 10 tefachim is the minimum size of a sukkah? 10 tefachim, anything less than 10 tefachim is Dira Srucha, you can't live in it. How come the Gemara needs Pesukim? So it's entirely possible that the Rambam, in his Rambamian, Maimonidean sense, is saying that, you know what, there's a machlekes hasugyas. The Gemara on Daf Hey that had a source for a sukkah being puzzle, that Gemara is saying it's really puzzle if it's less than 10 tefachim. Our Gemara just says, Dira Sarucha, maybe our Gemara is disagreeing, and our Gemara is saying it's not completely puzzle when it is less than 10 tefachim, right? Maybe it's just a din lechatchila, etc. Maybe that's the pshat in the Rambam. I should note also that there are some Rishonim who say, in the parish of the Rabbeinu Yonason, and there's an opinion to this effect in the Me'iri, that the idea of Dira Sarucha over here is that the twigs that come down will poke out your eyes, and therefore you won't want to sit in such a sukkah. It's uncomfortable. That's Dira Sarucha. It's uncomfortable. Maybe that's what the Rambam is saying, but discomfort itself doesn't necessarily mean that you're not Yotze. It's just it's uncomfortable, so it's something along the lines of the smelly schach, etc. Now, there's another Gemara, though, and another Tosfos on Daf Yud that maybe influences this famous Rambam. Did you have a chance to do that Tosis about Noye Sukkah and Daf Yod? Okay, so I see one yes coming from the middle screen over there, and I saw a shake of a head no coming from Hannah. Who wants to? Rachel, were you able to do that Tosis on Daf Yod? No, okay. So let's try to do the Tosis on Daf Yod. It's a relatively small Tosfos, and I think we could do it briefly. I decided to give this shiur instead of in my main living room where the kids are all. I'm doing this in my son's bedroom, and the light is not so good, so I have like this little lantern that helps me see. So, whatever. Okay, so Noye Sukkah, Tosfos writes, we're talking about a case where you have krumim haprusim lamala lanoi emim atim besukkah. Gavoa michof lahachshira. Right? The noye sukkah, if I have a sukkah that's over 20 amos, and I have some, I don't know why, as a kid, everyone used to hang gourds in their sukkah. Is that still a thing? Do people like have a gourd hanging down from their sukkah? in England. Is it a thing? Yeah, it is. Okay, so let's say you have these gourds or whatever hanging down from the sukkah over 20 amos. So Tosfos says it doesn't passel, it doesn't make the sukkah kosher because it's not a schach. The lav min schachahu. The schachah have a mifsa mishun de makabel tuma. Also, no ye sukkah doesn't passel, says Tosfos, mishum chusa miyud, kach pirish bekuntris. No ye sukkah does not make the sukkah less than 10 tfachim. So if I have a sukkah which is 10 tfachim tall, and they have stuff hanging from the schach, it doesn't invalidate the sukkah. It doesn't make it less than 10. V'lodami lehutz in yard l'toch yud de paslin and le'el, mishum diras rucha, de shayni hocha de lenoy asuyin. Tosa says, you know what? Hutzin, our Gemara on Daf Dalet, that has the branches that protrude down, so the hutzin makes it that you're not yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. But that's hutzin. Noye sukkah, that's not true about. If you have decorations, you have your gourds, you have your tinsel, or whatever you have hanging down from your schach, that does not make the sukkah less than 10 tefachim. But Tosfos does not explain why this would be true. Tosfos just asserts that noye sukkah, schach decorations, don't affect the height of the sukkah, but the hutzin do affect the height of the sukkah. Why would this be? So, hard to know exactly. Does anyone have a suggestion as to why this would be? So, what does Tosfos say? I thought Tosfos just says, Deshani hocha delonoy yasuyin. This is different because it's noy. Okay. In other words, right? Is that what you want to say, Yael, also? Right? In other words, and that's what the Rashba basically says. The Rashba says that, listen, the idea of hutzin is that it's a dira serucha, it ruins your sukkah experience. If it's noy sukkah, it enhances your sukkah experience, it doesn't ruin it. Now, how this will impact on that Rabbeinu Yonah son, who said that the concern is that it might poke out your eye, so I'm not sure, but maybe you're happy that your eye is poked out because, like, that little, you want that gourd to be there, you enjoy it, I'm not sure, but that's what the Rashba writes. The Rashba writes, and it's not beferish in Tosfos, but Noye Sukkah can't be Dira Serucha. Again, the word saruach has a very negative connotation, and noi has a positive connotation, and the two of them can't coexist. That's what Tosfos says. Oh, I see what you're saying. But if that's the case, so then you're saying that not all types of noye sukkah are going to be kosher. That the Gemara makes a categorical statement that noye sukkah don't affect the dimension of the sukkah. The way you're suggesting it, the noye sukkah theoretically could affect it, just in this particular case it doesn't. Right, again, it's possible, but I'm just saying that the Gemara is making a categorical statement about noy sukkah. Ya'el? There is, by the way, a button on Zoom that, like, you could have hand raising. It's, like, so cool. Yeah. That's interesting. I think that's really reading a lot into that Gemara in Daf Yud. And the Gemara in Daf Yud just makes a statement that Noye Sukkah are not Mema'it the Sukkah. Again, it's possible, but it seems like, to use the Yiddish expression, far-fetched. Okay, so now, you're supposed to be in bed. Why are you not in bed?
Because.
Okay, you want to be quiet when Abba says the shir?
Maybe.
Okay. So the Rambam's understanding is that, well, let's just say it like this. It's entirely possible that the Rambam is going to say that the Gemara on Daf Yud is a raya to him. You see, the Rambam understands the Gemara on Daf Dalet that the din of Hutzin do not really invalidate the Sukkah. You're really Yotzei. How does the Rambam know that? The Rambam's going to say, oh, I know that because on Daf Yud, Noye Sukkah don't invalidate the Sukkah. And Noye Sukkah is the same as Hutzin. Tosfos has a kasha. Tosfos is saying, what's the difference between Noye Sukkah and Hutzin? The Rambam's going to say, no kasha. It's exactly the same halacha. Don't do it l'chatchila. And that's the way the Rambam's going to understand this din. Okay. Again, it certainly is possible. Now, one other ha'ara, which I don't know what to do with, but I think is actually worth thinking about, is within this Rambam. If you take out the Rambams, just like skim Perek Dalet, Perek Hei, and Perek Vav. If you remember, we had three different halachos of Sukkah. Right? We have the Mivneh of the Sukkah, right? The structure, the size, both in terms of length, width, and height. Then we have the Dinim and Schach. Then we have Dinim and Yeshivas HaSukkah. Right? We spoke about this in terms of the Prakim in Masechah Sukkah. Perek Aleph versus Perek Beis is about Yeshivas HaSukkah. Right? That's what we spoke about. The Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Sukkah, the Rambam is talking about the Mivneh of the Sukkah. The Shi'ur of the Sukkah is 10 Tfachim, etc. It's 7 Tfachim width, right? Perek Dalet of Hilchos Sukkah is about the structure, the size of the Sukkah. Perek Hei of Hilchos Sukkah, right, begins with the word Haschach. And Perek Hei of Hilchos Sukkah is all about Schach. And then I move on to Perek Vav of Hilchos Sukkah, and the Rambam Perek Vav of Hilchos Sukkah talks about Yeshiva Sukkah. Who has to sit in the Sukkah? Noshim, Avodim, and Ketanim are parted from a Sukkah, etc. No? So what the Rambam is doing is the Rambam has three prakim. One parak about the structure of the Sukkah, the next parak about the Schach, and the third parak about Yeshiva HaSukkah. Yet, this halacha of Dira Serucha is placed in Perek He of the Rambam. Is placed in the Rambam's Perek about the Schach. And Halo Davarhu, that's already interesting. Why is this din of Dira Serucha, why it would seem to be a din in Yeshivas HaSukkah, how come the Rambam puts it in the Halachos of the Schach? So I saw that the Mira Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Elia Baruch Finkel, made this point. And he has another chiddush that he says based on this, which is also interesting. He says, you know what? The halacha of smelliness, right? This is going to be a very memorable thing, because we're discussing halachos of smelliness. So the halacha of smelliness, the Rambam has in Perek Hei. And the Rambam talks about, if my schach is smelly, what happens if the walls of my sukkah are smelly? Not my schach is smelly. Is it a kosher sukkah?
No.
So, that's not correct. If the Rambam only, well, yeah, the Rambam says, l'chatchila, you should not make a sukkah with smelly schach. But, apparently, if the walls are smelly, that is not going to create a problem for the sukkah,
what
according
to the... What if you
make
a sukkah on top of a nuclear wasteland, or like an underground...
We'll talk about that later.
An underground, what's it called? an underground dump, so the floor is stinky.
We'll talk about it later. But the basic point is that the Rambam is saying, again, I'm not sure why this halacha is not in Perek Vav. Right? It would seem to be more of a din in the yeshivas ha-sukkah, but for some reason the Rambam understands that's a din in the schach of the sukkah, which would mean, by the way, that Rava is more fundamentally arguing on Abaye. Right? Abaye was saying that the schach is a kosher schach. Right? And the pashtus is that Rava agrees that the schach is kosher schach. But Rava has a different psul. However, if you go back in the Lashon HaGemara, the Gemara's expression is Savar Abaye Lameimar. That means Abaye originally thought this, but then Abaye changed his mind. That would seem to imply that Rava is fundamentally disagreeing with Abaye. He's not saying that there's a different psul, it's a din study, it's a din yeshivas hasukkah. It could be that Rava is saying no, that the psul is a psul in the schach somehow, based on diras rucha. It's not a psul just in yeshivas hasukkah. That's what the impression that you get from the words savar Abaye Lameimar. Those words savar imply that Rava is... Excuse me, that, right, Rava is really disagreeing with Abaye, and Abaye actually backed out of his approach. Sounds good, Chevra? I apologize for Yosef Dov Schwartz, but Yosef Dov is a very good boy most of the time.
Hey!
Okay, let's go on. We have some time. Let's begin the next Gemara. Did any of you have a chance to do this next bit of Gemara?
Yeah.
No one. Okay. So, let's see. 1 second. Let's see what we can do. Ay, ay, ay. I thought I had something else to say on this Gemara.
Away with me.
The beer. Yeah, so that beer halacha, actually, I don't remember what I was trying to gain out of that beer halacha. What was his point? You don't know. Yeah, so I think actually I put that beer halacha on the source sheet like 2 weeks ago when I was planning on doing this year, and I don't remember what I had in mind. So, we're both stumped on this one. I just took a look at it again before. I don't remember what I was thinking when I put it on the source sheet. And unfortunately, I'm not as good at taking notes as I should be. So, you know what, let's just begin the next Gemara. Let's learn the next Gemara. We'll make like a couple of brief ha'aros and Amir Tah Hashem next week. I hope that we'll be able to continue on this Gemara. But let's say you have a sukkah that is taller than... let's say you have a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos. Actually, if you are looking at... This is one of those times that the traditional printed Gemara is better than the online one. Because in the traditional printed Gemara, they have a picture. I think actually I could... I think I could probably share a screen over here. How do I do this? This is not helping. Did you take a picture of it? You have it? You sent it to the WhatsApp group or to the Zoom thing? Is there a way of you uploading it to the Zoom? Yeah. Let me try this again. That's basically the first picture in the Gemara. Okay? If you have a sukkah that is over 20 amos, right, the whole sukkah is over 20 amos, and what you do is you build a little stage. And that stage, here, there's some chatting going on. What are people saying in the chat? Oh, here, Yael Blau sent the picture from Hebrew Books. And that might help. See? Ah, there it is, right. See, that picture is actually better than... that picture... can you see it now? Did we share this? I'm not so technologically savvy myself, or I shouldn't say myself, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing over here. But in the Hebrew Books thing that Yael Blau just shared with everyone, so in that Hebrew Books page, I'm looking at it now, I don't know if you're looking at it, but basically there is a picture of Itzdaba Be'emtza. Right, if you have a sukkah that's over 20 amos, so it's too tall, and you build a platform, which makes the sukkah now less than 20 amos for some of the sukkah. So the Gemara says, if the itzdaba is keneged dofen ha'emtza'i apnei kula, so it's going to be kosher. Right, in that first picture of the... in that first picture, so it's going to be kosher, right? Or the thing that I just tried to share over here, that you have a sukkah, right? And there's a mound inside the sukkah, right? The whole sukkah is over 20 amos. But that shaded area, right? The area that my fingers are now, that area is less than 20 amos, so that is going to make the sukkah kosher. That's what the Gemara says. Now Rashi over here has an interesting comment where Rashi says that not only is the sukkah going to be kosher on top of that mound, but Zukt Rashi, the entire sukkah becomes kosher. Even the area that extends beyond the mound. Again, so let's just imagine I have a sukkah which is over 20 amos tall, and I have a mound that reduces the height somewhat, right? So that mound makes it now that it's not over 20 amos on that area of the mound. So Rashi says, yeah, that area on top is kosher, and not only is that area on top kosher, but even the area outside of the mound is also going to be kosher. Right, that's what Rashi writes in Dibar Maschil Kesherah. And that's based on a halacha called Pesel or Pesal HaYotze Min HaSukkah. If I have some puzzle space that protrudes, that extends from a sukkah, so in that situation, the halacha is that's going to be kosher. That's a Gemara Daf Yud test. Now the Rishonim, we'll talk about it next time, the Rush has some objections to Rashi's understanding. But that's what Rashi says. So again, there's a halacha. Now if I have a kosher sukkah in one place, and that kosher sukkah... maybe I should try to share a screen again. Let me try this one more time. This is my sukkah. My sukkah, right, is very big. There is a small part of the sukkah that's going to be kosher. Right, that area right over here, that area is kosher. But everything outside over here is over 20 amos, and it's not kosher. Says Rashi, you know what, it really is kosher still. That entire thing is kosher based on this rule of psal hayotze. This rule of an extension beyond the sukkah is going to also be kosher. That's the halacha according to Rashi. Now, what about in our case? Our case being the Gemara that we just did before. I have a sukkah, which is a short sukkah. The sukkah is less than 10 tefachim because I have these branches that protrude. Right? Really, the sukkah was over 10, but I have the chutzin yardin, and that makes it a dira serucha. Correct? Well, what would happen if it's only less than 10 in certain parts of the sukkah, but the rest of the sukkah is over 10? Remember, I have these protrusions that come down. So the protrusions come down here, they come down here, they come down here, but on the sides, I don't have any protrusions. Right? Or to, right here, let's just do a better picture. This is a sukkah. The whole sukkah is over 10, right? The sukkah is 11. But I have some protrusions over here, right? So now, in these areas, it's not 10 tefachim. So would I apply that rule of pesal hayotzei min hasukkah to say, oh, once it's going to be kosher in the middle, so maybe it's going to also be kosher on the two sides? Just like in the case that Rashi has, if the entire sukkah is over 20, right? And I build that small stand, that mound, that makes the entire sukkah kosher, even the part of the sukkah that is over 20. It all becomes kosher because it's part of the same structure, and that's the din of pesal hayotzei min hasukkah. So would the same thing be true in a case where I have some of the sukkah is 10, some of the sukkah is not 10, would that same halacha be true as well? That is what we're trying to figure out. So now, ladies, this issue might depend on the chakira that we had before. What is the nature of the psul of a sukkah under 10 tefachim? Or what is the nature of this din of chutzin that protrude into the sukkah being psul? I know that the halacha psal hayotzei min hasukkah, this halacha that the extension of a sukkah is also going to be kosher, that applies to a case when they have a psul in the structure of a sukkah. The sukkah is over 20, so structurally the sukkah is psul. Some of the sukkah is kosher. We say, oh, I could be machshir a... I see, actually, Yael sent it to the group chat so everyone could have had it, so it would have been easier. But I could have been machshir the sukkah. Since some of it's kosher, everything else is going to be kosher. It's all part of the same sukkah. Well, that makes sense, that everything is part of the same sukkah, and therefore the whole thing is kosher. That makes sense if we're dealing with psulim in the structure of a sukkah. But if the halacha of chutzin is not a din in the structure of the sukkah, if the halacha is about yeshivas hasukkah, so then the din of psal hayotzei min hasukkah can't affect it. Psal hayotzei min hasukkah basically is a way of saying, you know what? You have some of the sukkah that's kosher, some of the sukkah that's pasul, but it's all one structure, so therefore the halacha views it all as the same, and you can't have one structure somewhat kosher, somewhat pasul. The whole thing has got to be kosher. But that makes sense when it's in the structure of the sukkah. If the halacha of chutzin, yardin, letoch hasara is a din in yeshivas hasukkah, not in the structure of the sukkah, so then I don't know if the halacha of psal would apply. I'm looking at blank stares, which probably means that Woody Allen has a line in his movie that you have to be a super genius to say something that is incomprehensible to everyone. That is, whatever. should we try this again? Basically, we have a chakira. Our question is, what is the reason why chutzin that extend into 10 tefachim is pasul? The pashtus would be, it's a psul in yeshivas hasukkah. That the structure of the sukkah should be fine. And Abaye would agree with Rava. Or Rava, excuse me, would agree with Abaye. The problem is that we noted that, you know what? The Rambam includes this in the halachas of the schach. If it's halachas of the schach, it's not a din in the yeshivas hasukkah. And the lashon of Savar Abaye Lameimar also indicates that it's a din in that Abaye changed his mind based on Rava, which means Abaye and Rava are not agreeing. If that's the case, so then what we're really saying is that the psul of a sukkah under 10 tefachim, or when these things protrude under 10 tefachim, it's some sort of psul in the schach of the sukkah. A nafgamina between these two understandings could be whether we apply our rule of sukkah extensions. The idea of a sukkah extension is a Gemara Daf Yud Tes that Rashi invokes a few lines from now, which is that if I have some of the sukkah kasher, I have enough of the sukkah kasher to be a shear, a minimum shear of a kasher sukkah, so even the extensions on that is also going to be kasher. Right, that's psal hayotzei min ha-sukkah. So if I have some of the sukkah that is not 20 amos tall, even the part of the same sukkah which is over 20 amos is still going to be kasher. Psal hayotzei min ha-sukkah. It's an extension of the sukkah. Now, can I be machshir, an extension of the sukkah, based on... Can I be machshir, excuse me, the case of chutzin that go into 10 tefachim based on the rule of sukkah extensions? Is that enough to be machshir it? So it depends. If it's a din in the structure of the sukkah, so then conceivably we could say it's kasher. But if it's a halacha not in the structure of the sukkah, if it's a psun yeshivas ha-sukkah, so I do not know why it would be kasher. This is basically what we're trying to get to. B'li neder, next week when we analyze psal hayotzei min ha-sukkah, I think we'll understand this last point better, but for now, I think we will leave it like this. Okay, Chevra, so again, I apologize for Yosef Dov's disturbance, although I think he's actually cute. You're certainly welcome to disagree with that point. Everyone should be safe, and hopefully, you know, Chavi kemat rega ad yavar zam, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger will pass, and we'll be okay. Tanya? Yeah, so Rav Schechter sent this thing around to all the RCA Rabbonim to encourage saying Avinu Malkeinu in davening. Not the full thing, but you should say Avinu Malkeinu Haver Dever Rav Chervu Shvi Umashchis, and then Avinu Malkeinu Minama Geifa Minachlosecha and Shlach Refuah Shleima. Those are the four ones that Rav Schechter said that you should add. Certainly, other additions in davening, I don't know. I don't know if there's other stuff to add to davening. One of the Rabbonim was suggesting that maybe we should say long tachanun every day. We're not davening with a minyan anyway. My understanding is that I'm a bigger fan of saying less with more kavana, rather, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. I have to admit, even now, when I'm davening on my own without a minyan, I'm not saying a full psaki de zimra. I'm trying to actually say things and mean it. And I don't have 3 hours. Like Chassidim, I understand how you could spend 3 hours davening now. Honestly, if you really focus on what you're saying, you could spend 3 hours in davening. I don't know what else to add. I do recommend, like, davening with kavana, I told my students in Stern last night, you know, not davening in the minyan, you know, gives you a lot of freedom to experience tefillah in different ways. You know, sing it. Do, you know, experience it. Dance it. Like, you should, because you're on your own, you should have an opportunity to express your feelings of the tefillah in a fully expressive way, which is something that we can't do ordinarily. I don't know what it looks like, and it looks different for me than it does for you, but I am assuming that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us at this time is that we should have a deeper, more enhanced tefillah experience. Okay. Okay, thank you for coming to learn, Chevra, and be safe and have a good night. Okay. Kotev, everybody. Shkayach. Okay, we're going to end this meeting.